Mum and Dad by Joanna Trollope, read by Yolanda Kettle. Chapter 1. This was Monica's favourite time of day. These early mornings, dawns really, and surprisingly dark even in southern Spain, when nobody except the village cockerels appeared to be up. The cockerels started an hour before she did, and the villagers took no notice of them, but Monica heard them with pleasure. They were a sort of signal to take her morning cup of tea, made with leaves sent from England, out onto the terrace and stand there, sipping, while the light slowly brightened below her to reveal the Rock of Gibraltar, like a great war horse plunging towards Africa, 30 kilometres away. It was miraculous, that moment. Every morning, without fail, through autumn mists and spring downpours, the rearing rock and the cascading mountainsides down to it gave Monica a feeling of exultation that no place or landscape had ever given her in her life before. Not even the magnificence of the West Highlands, where she'd started life 68 years before. Life in Spain, and accommodating herself to her husband's stubbornness, hadn't exactly been easy. But this morning ritual of tea on the terrace, while watching the day steal up on the night, was one of the day's unlooked-for bonuses. The terrace, of course, once it was fully light, revealed its perpetual neediness. Some plants, the disappointingly scentless plumbago, for example, seemed to have no trouble in thriving, tumbling over walls in extravagant abundance, dense, pale blue flowerheads mingling with the deep, almost violet blue of the convolvulus, which grew everywhere, in profusion, if she didn't keep a sharp eye on it. But some bougainvilleas behaved, Monica thought, extremely neurotically, perpetually and fretfully shedding papery leaves and petals onto the terrace that she had to remind Pilar to sweep up. Pilar considered outdoors as another planet. A planet ruled by men with all their attendant idiosyncrasies and properly inhabited by animals and machinery and weather. Outdoors was nothing to do with her. She said as much to Monica, volubly and constantly, banging her broom about the terrace. "Why are you English so obsessed with stupid flowers? Can you eat them?" Pilar had worked for Monica since 1994, when she had been a 19-year-old from the village with parents who could neither read nor write. Her father, who was still alive, kept rabbits for the table in a ruined shed, fattening them with bread and water in the dark. Monica had protested both to Pilar and to her father about the cruelty of keeping rabbits in such dreadful conditions, and the old man had stared at her, shaking his head, as if confronting someone certifiably insane. Monica had rounded on Pilar. "The way you treat animals is a disgrace to humanity. It really is. Those poor, poor rabbits. Don't you understand?" Pilar leaned on the mop she was using to wash the kitchen floor. "You think it's cruel? If you want to see real cruelty, you should go to North Africa, to the Rif Mountains. Those donkeys can hardly move for their burdens." She brandished the mop. "Go and water your silly flowers." Sometimes, Monica thought she had had quite enough of Pilar. Just as she thought she had had quite enough of Gus, too. At 23, she'd had every sympathy with Gus's rage and despair at his own father's obtuse intractability and the consequent terrible quarrels that resulted in their abandoning England for Spain in 1993. Old Gus bellowing that Spain, in all its post-Franco confusion, was welcome to his useless, disloyal eldest son. Old Gus would have been a figure of fun if he hadn't been so powerful, and if her Gus hadn't craved his father's approval and affection so pitifully. It was old Gus who named the Spanish vineyard in the end too, the vineyard they'd had to sell everything in England to start, despite her objections. "Don't you see?" she'd said pleadingly to Gus. "Don't you see what he's doing?"